Hello, lovely people. Happy Tuesday to you. I'm Coy Wire. This is CNN 10, the best 10 minutes in news. We start today with a tough topic, a controversial one that leaves many in the United States divided. It's the ongoing debate about gun control. This comes after a mass shooting unfolded at a shopping mall in Allen, Texas, about 25 miles north of Dallas. 8 people were killed, at least 7 others wounded at the time of this reporting. According to the Gun Violence Archive, the United States has suffered at least 200 mass shootings within the first 5 months of this year. This nonprofit group and CNN define a mass shooting as one in which 4 or more people are shot. Vigils and church services were set up in the city of Allen in support of the victims and their families as investigators were searching for answers. In response to the tragedy, Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott focused on the need for better help with mental health, stating, quote, "We are working to address that anger and violence by going to its root cause, which is addressing the mental health problems behind it," unquote. Abbott also added, quote, "People want a quick solution. The long-term solution here is to address the mental health issue," unquote. For his part, President Biden on Sunday asked Congress to pass new gun control laws. Our Jeremy Diamond has more for us from the White House on the president's reaction and his continued call for actions on gun reform.
The flag above the White House is once again flying at half staff as we watch this all too familiar ritual in the wake of yet another deadly mass shooting play out. President Biden putting out a statement offering his prayers to the victims and their families and also thanking first responders for acting quickly and courageously. He says that federal law enforcement officials are offering assistance to state and local authorities. But what we're also hearing from President Biden is once again a call to action, a call to enact the kind of common sense gun reforms that President Biden believes are necessary. And he's also making clear who he believes is responsible for the inaction on those efforts in Washington, saying in a statement, quote, "Too many families have empty chairs at their dinner tables. Republican members of Congress cannot continue to meet this epidemic with a shrug. Tweeted thoughts and prayers are not enough. Once again, I ask Congress to send me a bill banning assault weapons and high-capacity magazines, enacting universal background checks, requiring safe storage, ending immunity for gun manufacturers. I will sign it immediately. We need nothing less to keep our streets safe." And President Biden in this statement also says that he believes the country has made some progress in addressing this issue, pointing to his signing of that bipartisan Safer Communities Act that sought to incentivize more red flag laws in the country and address mental health resources. But he also makes clear that he believes that despite the nearly 24 executive actions he has signed on this issue, he believes he's now reached the limit of his executive authorities. And he says that the burden now rests with Congress. Jeremy Diamond, CNN, the White House.
We head to Asia now, where Japanese President Fumio Kishida made a historic visit to Seoul to meet South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol. It's the first time a Japanese leader has visited the capital in more than a decade. Both nations look to strengthen relations while facing a growing threat from North Korea. Our Paula Hancock has more from Seoul.
Japan and South Korea appear to be moving closer together, at least at the government and leadership level. Japan's Prime Minister Fumio Kishida has ended a 2-day visit to Seoul to meet his South Korean counterpart Yoon Suk-yeol, and there were a number of important issues on the agenda. North Korea and security issues in the region, but also historical issues which date back to the time when Japan colonized Korea. Now, for example, forced labor during wartime. This is an issue that President Yoon has been trying to resolve, and he has come under domestic criticism for that in a belief by some, certainly the more liberal part of the country, that he is offering more concessions to Japan than he is receiving in return. Now, there were some hopes from the liberals that there would be another apology from Japan's side for the colonial times. There was not. But there was a personal message of sympathy from Japan's Prime Minister.
"My heart aches as many people went through a very difficult and sad experience in the harsh environment at that time."
Now, President Yoon said that there was a need to dispel the perception that Japan and South Korea could not take a single step forward until all the historical issues had been completely resolved. Now, North Korea was also a very important issue and the increasing threat from the North. Now, we have heard repeatedly from Washington that they would like to see their two allies in the region move closer together. Now, we have seen and heard from both leaders that they are information sharing, that there is more of a security sharing process when it comes to the missile threat from North Korea, and that is certainly being welcomed by Washington. Here's President Yoon.
저와 기시다 총리는
Prime Minister Kishida and I shared the recognition that North Korea's nuclear and missile development poses a grave threat to peace and stability, not only on the Korean Peninsula and Japan, but also throughout the world.
10-second trivia. The French word pain translates to which of these food items? Bread, milk, eggs, or beans? On your grocery list, the French to English translation for pain is bread. Now, when it comes to finding authentic French bakeries, Rhode Island's maybe not the first place you'd look. But looky here. One French baker named Belinda Quinn will make you think a wee bit different about the Ocean State. She came from Paris, opened a bakery in Newport, and her shop sells out within hours of opening every weekend. I sure hope my path croissants with it someday. Belinda, the French baker, shares with us some of the secrets to the scrumptiousness of the pain au chocolat.
We open at 7, and then we usually sell out by 9:30, if not sometimes by 8:30.
I come here pretty much every weekend.
I usually get here at around 6:30.
There's always a line. I got here at 5 to 7 this morning, and there was already 20 people in line.
I had no idea that it would be so incredible.
It is quite difficult to make a good pain au chocolat at home if we don't have the equipment, the ingredients, and also the patience. You have to be really patient to make a good pain au chocolat. I met my husband in Paris, and I decided to follow him and then to move to the U.S. When I came to Newport, my first impression was the food was very different here. And there was nothing for me authentic. So that's why I decided I should really bring a touch of France. I knew that it would work, because I knew that people, they would know the difference. They would taste the quality. This is the day one when we mix all the ingredients and we make it into a dough. Day two, you do the lamination, you incorporate the butter in the dough, and then you shape the pain au chocolat. It's a French butter because there is a high content of fat. If you use the wrong type of butter, it won't create any layers in the pastry. This is like 30-something layers. And then day three, it's where you proof and you bake the pain au chocolat. So what makes the perfect pain au chocolat for me is when you bite in it, you have to taste this crispy, crunchy layer on top. And then inside, you have to have this very light and flaky dough. And then the taste of dark chocolate. Some people, they would just tell me, Belinda, this is like being in Paris again. I am proud of my French culture. I wanted to create my bakery, Le Bec Sucré, to have this taste of France.
Leonardo da Vinci's Mona Lisa is one of the best-known artworks in the world, right? But one thing that hasn't been known, the mystery of the location shown in the background of the iconic 16th century painting. Today's story getting a 10 out of 10. The puzzle has potentially been solved. Using virtual reconstruction and historical documents, art historian Silvano Vincetti claims the bridge behind Mona Lisa is the Romito Bridge in the Tuscany region of Italy in the town of Laterina. Problem is, the Tuscan village of Ponte Buriano nearby is so convinced that the Mona Lisa Bridge is in their village that they've made it a key feature of their local tourism campaign. Looks like this mystery that's been debated for centuries just got more heated. Did you know that the Mona Lisa was once accused of a crime? She was framed. Now she's in the Louvre Museum in Paris, seen by millions of people every year. Our special shout out today is going to Winter Garden, Florida, West Orange High School. Orange, you glad you subscribed to our YouTube channel? Thanks for all the love and thanks for making us part of your day. Much love and many blessings. I'm Coy Wire and we are CNN 10.